I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast, or we should say the exaltation of the Holy Cross. And it is the only feast of an instrument of the Passion of our Lord. And so it is important for us to consider precisely what this instrument means, not in the fact that it is mere wood, but in the fact that our Lord hung upon it. The instruments of the Passion are the only relics that one is allowed to genuflect in front of. So if you go to the Church of Jerusalem in Rome, you can actually genuflect in front of the instruments of the Passion. Or if a priest has a relic of the True Cross, you can actually genuflect in front of it. Not because of the wood or the instrument itself, but insofar as it has its reference to Christ. The exaltation of the cross is, in fact, the exaltation of the salvation of man. That is, that God wrought his glory in this world by redeeming man. And the two principal ways in which this redemption finds itself in our own particular lives is through daily Mass and confession. For that reason, I'd like to talk a little bit about those two as a mainstay of Catholic means of sanctification. The first is daily Mass. Since the daily Mass is the representation or the enactment of, or a transtemporal, if you will, or a non-temporal participation in the same Calvary sacrifice upon which Christ hung upon the cross, the daily Mass is a participation in the highest act of man. St. Thomas Aquinas says in his Summa Theologia that the highest act of religion is sacrifice. And since Christ, being perfect and unblemished, his action constituted the highest of all actions that could be performed in this life. That is, it was the sacrificing, which is the highest act of the highest object, which is God himself, in offering to God himself. It is the daily Mass, therefore, because it is the participation of the Calvary sacrifice, like the Calvary sacrifice, it is a font of all graces, it is the font of redemption, and is the font of all blessings. While it is true that by divine decree, or at least the theologians think, that God decided to restrict the efficacy of the Mass because it was infinite, nevertheless, we are able to participate in the effects of the Calvary sacrifice by going to Mass, even though those effects be finite. One of the principal effects that we can participate in is that it is a cause of joy for us. That is, insofar as we know that our redemption is being wrought, and insofar as we know that Christ is offering himself upon the cross for us, it brings us great joy, not because he had to die for our sins, but because he decided to die for our sins so that we could be saved. The opportunity for Holy Communion is one of the principal benefits of going to daily Mass. The Church teaches us that each sacrament has specific effects that are proper to that sacrament, and that these effects are principally sacramental graces, so that each sacrament received has a specific set of graces which are ordered towards the finality towards which that sacrament is ordered. For instance, in the case of Holy Communion, just as we see that we feed upon Christ's body, and in the normal process of taking in food, we become strong and healthy, and likewise, by receiving Holy Communion, our spiritual life is fortified so that we can actually stay out of sin and also to do the right thing. It sustains us spiritually. It also, going to daily Mass, is the participation in the graces coming from the prayers of the ritual. As a result, because we receive the effects of the sacrifice of the cross mediated by the ritual, that is, we receive the graces from Christ's sacrifice by means of the prayers of the ritual, then we will have our sins forgiven if we go to daily Mass, because that is what we petition, and we will receive the mercy of God. We also petition for the various virtues throughout the course of the Mass, and those too we shall receive. If we don't have them, then we will receive an increase in them. It also fulfills our obligations to render a proper cult or worship to God under the requirements of prayer, which is a part of religion. This is why, for the laity, the Mass should principally be a thing of interior meditation and not one of constant jabbering. It provides graces for children. That is, when they come here, they also get to enjoy the effects of it, even though volitionally they cannot enjoy them as much because they can't enter into them volitionally. Nevertheless, their presence here, they actually receive grace for it. So it is good and a holy practice for parents to bring their children to daily Mass. And they should also take them to Sunday Mass for no other reason than to teach the children their obligations and requirement in this regard. Daily Mass also provides a psychological start or orientation of the day. If we each day go to daily Mass, then in the very beginning of the day, if we go to Mass, which is one of our first things that we do, it provides an orientation for the rest of the day and hopefully for the rest of our lives. This is, of course, daily Mass, one of the traditional mainstays of a strong Catholic devotional life. If you cannot get to daily Mass, at least try to make a spiritual communion. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered by the priest, St. Paul tells us, for the sins of the priest and of the sins of the people. And so we see that there is immediate connection, obviously, between Christ dying for our sins and the forgiveness of our sins. And for that reason, the Church has always recognized that there is a close affinity between confession, that is, the forgiveness of sins through confession, and not only the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but the Calvary sacrifice. Frequent confession is also a mainstay of a traditional Catholic devotional life. It is an unfortunate fact that even traditionalists do not go to confession as often as they ought. Now, some do. Some make a frequent practice of it. Others simply do not go unless they fall into mortal sin or unless it's been an exceedingly long amount of time. But frequent confession is important because, like Holy Communion, we receive the sacramental graces that are proper to confession. And what this means is that in confessing your sins, the particular sins that you confess, you will receive actual graces to overcome. Those actual graces will actually be ordered towards overcoming the specific sins that you confess. This is why when people tell you, you know, don't give me the laundry list, just give me one and that's all I need. While it is true that you only need to give one sin for the sake of valid absolution. Now here we're presuming that you don't have any other mortal sins because you have to confess all mortal sins. But it is also, the Church exhorts us, a good practice to confess even our venial sins, because each time we do that, we receive the actual graces not only at the time of the confessional, but when we get out to overcome the specific sins that we commit. So when people tell you, don't give me the laundry list, don't listen to them. Give me the laundry list. That's precisely why you need to give it to me, because it's a laundry list, because you keep doing it, but you need the graces to overcome it, and the particular sins that you have. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Frequent confession, if we go to it frequently, it means that each time we go to confession, we'll increase the graces that we're going to receive, not only in sanctifying grace, but in actual graces. In fact, if you start finding yourself getting a little bit weak, that's probably a sign you need to get to confession. Frequent confession develops humility in us because confession is the sacrament of reality, or the sacrament of humiliation or humility. Why? Because humility is willingness to live in accordance with the truth. And to go to confession, you have to be willing to lead a life in accordance with the truth, because you have to go up and state the truth. You have to state what you did. You have to fess up to it. You have to appropriate it. And that's one of the principal effects of confession. It helps us to appropriate the sins that we commit. Just as the alcoholic isn't going to overcome his sin and his alcoholism until he admits he has a problem, in like manner, frequent confession brings to mind to us the fact that we have these problems, we appropriate them so that we can deal with them. This is one of the principal reasons why the Protestant theory of not having to confess to a mediator doesn't work. Because it's very easy and it's very simple for us just to, you know, I can confess my sins to God, which is true, we should, but we should also take them to the priest, because we don't have the guarantee by going to God directly that he absolves us with the priest. However, we have a greater certitude. But also, by having to fess up our sins, it makes us it humbles us and makes us appropriate our sins so that it becomes more real to us. And of course, recognition of your sin and eradicating it from your life is the first thing you have to do in the spiritual life if you're going to become holy. Frequent confession, that is, going to confession once a month or more, actually helps us to become more aware of our sins, particularly in problematic areas. If we're going every 3 months, we may not get a more clear idea of which sins are more frequent and more of a problem. At least, well, we might, but not as much. It also helps us to develop a habit of being penitent, that is, being sorry for our sins, so that on our deathbed, if we go to confession frequently, we will be disposed so that if the priest shows up on our deathbed, we will desire to go to confession and to be sorry for our sins. We also know that we all have to pay back to God in justice what is due to Him for the sins that we committed, that is, from the detraction from His glory. And by going to confession and doing our penance assigned by the priest, we don't make up for all of that potential requirement, but nevertheless, we do recognize the need, by doing these penances, the requirement for doing penance for our sins, to atone for our sins. There is a direct correlation between the fact that people go to confession less and the fact that people don't believe in purgatory and the fact that people don't think that they have to atone for their sins. Also, if you love God, you will not want any offense that you have committed against Him to go for any length of time. You'll want to get to confession so that anything that He might have against you, you'll be sorry for these things and that you'll have them wiped away and it won't be held against you. It is also important that if you are struggling with a particular sin to go to confession frequently, and even if you don't commit the sin, this is why it's a good practice to get done confessing the sins you have committed, to actually say, for these all the sins of my past life, especially four, and then the sin that you have a problem struggling with, because then you get the graces again, the actual graces to overcome it. One thing I've noticed too is priests, because they're lazy, seems to be more and more the case, try and reduce their workload. So one of the ways they do it is by trying to reduce the number of people going to confession. The hearing confessions is work. It requires a great deal of attention. It's hard. It's difficult. You have to try your best to help people, and so as a result, it requires a great amount of energy. So priests, being lazy, will very often try and reduce the number of people going to confessions to lighten their load a little bit. One of the things in connection to that regard is you'll hear them actually say, oh, you're getting older, you don't need to go to confession so often, or those are just venial sins, you don't need to go to confession so often. Don't listen to them. Because the older you get, the more ingrained your habits are, and as a result, the more you actually need the actual graces from confession to break those ingrained habits. And even if you are sinning less, nevertheless, the sins that you commit are probably correspond to the ingrained habits. So don't listen to people. And besides, Leo X says that to confess sins that we've already confessed is a way of atoning for those sins of the past. And so he says it's a good and holy practice. So even if you haven't committed a sin, which I have seen this happen, you'll actually have older people, like I've met some older women who get to this point where in the latter part of their life, they may go 2-3 weeks without committing a sin, but they should still go to confession, confess a sin from their past life, so that they can atone for that sin and receive the graces for that. These sacraments are the normal means of sanctification, and they put us in close union with the cross of Christ, the sacrifice which He made, and the benefits derived therefrom. And so as a result, make use of them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.